Let me start with a story. In the summer of 2015, which was a pretty warm year, a woman in Ontario, Canada, said, "Summers have been stressful to me since having my son." Now, she's an environmental activist. "It's hard to enjoy a season that's a constant reminder that the world is getting warmer." And then she said her anxiety just reached a peak. She felt like she couldn't go anywhere, but she had terrible anxiety and would even contemplated self-harm. She said, "Though I don't think I would have hurt myself, I didn't know how to live with the fear of the apocalypse, I guess. My son was home with me, and I had to call my friend over to watch him because I couldn't even look at him without breaking down." She eventually checked herself into a mental health facility. Now, that's obviously an extreme case, but I've actually heard from people at church that their kids are, I guess, suffering what they call climate despair, that somehow climate change is coming and it's unstoppable and it's going to just wipe out the human race. And so what's the use of going to school? What's the use of marrying? What's the use of any kind of future? And what's God doing? You know, how can he let this go? And so I'd like to talk about Christianity and the environment, and especially this whole idea of climate change. And I actually want to start in Genesis, but I want to, even earlier than that, I want to go back and have us consider what's going on today. We're being told that Christianity is really not good for the environment, but if we just open our eyes and take a look, in fact, I want to emphasize a book that I think you'd find really helpful. It's called "Should Christians Be Environmentalists?" by Dan Story. Should Christians Be Environmentalists? And he talks about other cultures and religions were not any kinder to nature than Christianity. And if you look in Genesis, God creates. He said it's good. You don't need to fear nature. And God maintains it. And we have responsibilities. In Genesis 1, we're given stewardship. That's a moral obligation that we have. And we need to take it seriously. So, all right, that's just the quick foundational piece. Let's move on. Let's talk about climate change. So first of all, Christianity, we're supposed to take care of this earth. We're not supposed to worship it, but we have a stewardship over it. We're supposed to take care of it. All right, so let's talk about what's going on here, this climate change. So we've got people so worried about it, and they're focused on the here and the now, the very moment of their lives. But I think it would help if we got the big picture and take a look sometime. Go online and you can just type in warm periods in the earth's history or something like that, and you'll find out, for example, if you go back just, let's say, 1,000 years or so, there was something called the medieval warm period, somewhat like today. It was pretty warm, and then the earth cooled and you had a little ice age, they said, from the 1300s to the mid-1800s. In fact, there's stories of people ice skating where the Thames River was in England, but it was all frozen over. So you've got this up and down cycle that's occurred. And if you see over even a longer stretch of time, you see that that's been the case. Hot leading to cold, back to hot. In fact, that medieval warm period, you might think about it. Why was Greenland called Greenland? Why were the Vikings going all over the place setting up civilization, setting up settlements? Because it was warmer. And then things started changing and turned back to ice for the people there. Okay, so we do have change over time. And the question is, well, what's going on right now? Are humans to blame? A lot of people are saying yes, that it's our fault. But again, I'm not out to push a particular point, but I just want us to consider that a lot of things can affect the climate. And these are so hard to pin down. For sure. So, for example, volcanoes, the sun. I've heard so much about sunspot activity affecting our climate. Carbon dioxide, CO2, yes, it is a percent of what's called greenhouse gases. But you know what the most influential greenhouse gas is that people don't think of very often? Water vapor. Water vapor. Ocean currents can also change the climate. The atmospheric reflection, in other words, how many clouds are out there bouncing the sunlight back into space. So a lot of things can be involved. And I think at this point, it's valuable to ask ourselves four questions when we're talking to people and to think about these four big questions. Number one, is the earth warming? Number two, are we causing it? Number three, is it bad? And number four, would the advised policies that people have out there, would they make any difference? So, let's go back. Is the Earth warming? Yes. All indications are the Earth has gotten a little bit warmer. I'll tell you how little in just a second, if I can find the information here. Give me a second. Okay. Is the Earth warming? It's been gradually warming since 1850. And roughly what they're talking about is it's gone up maybe a degree or a degree and a half Fahrenheit since 1850. A degree and a half. Okay, that's not a huge change, is it? It is some, but not much. Okay, so is it going up, the temperature? Yes. Are we causing it? Well, here we go again. It's really hard to say, really difficult to say, because there are these so many other things that are going on. There are natural variations. And all those things I talked about, volcanoes and water vapor and ocean temperatures. So that one's a big question mark. Number three, is it bad? Well, everybody tells you it's bad. And they say things like, you know, you're going to see a rise in the sea levels, and there are going to be more tornadoes, and the ice caps will melt, and the polar bears won't have any place to go to, and droughts and things like that. But, you know, I've read this more than once. Not one of those things, not one has happened yet. They're predictions. So, for example, I've seen a chart of tornadoes and cyclones over the last, I forgot if it was 75 or 100 years. They come, they go, they come, they go, they come, they go. It's a bouncing kind of line that you get. It's not an accelerated line. We're not seeing more of those things. And again, back to the question, is it bad? Well, CO2 is plant food. And in fact, I saw another illustration of the Earth since 1981 has actually greened up. Places that couldn't support vegetation are now supporting vegetation. And then fourth question, one more time. Would the advised policies make any difference? So let me go over those other three questions. So is the Earth warming? Yeah, probably some. Are we causing it? Huge controversy there. Number three, would it be bad? Well, no, not necessarily. Number four, would the advised policies that people are asking us to do, would those policies make any difference? Well, you got to weigh all the costs and weigh the benefits. Let me give you an example. What, the famous one right now are those Paris Accords, the Paris Accord. And here's the latest I found on this. If every nation abided by it, well, right there you got a huge if, huh? But let's say every nation abided by it by the year 2100. Okay, so whatever, 81 years from now. 2100, if everybody abided by this, it would reduce our temperature by 0.17 degrees centigrade. Not even a degree, not even a half a degree, much less than a half a degree, if everybody abided by this. And the cost is estimated between 1 and 2 trillion, not million or billion, 1 to 2 trillion dollars per year. Now, for that kind of money, you could do marvelous things for poor countries. Way more good, I think, than you would by throwing money at this. But again, I'll leave that out and try not to get on a soapbox here. I think as kind of a wrap-up, there's some things that we should keep in mind. Here's one. Science has made a lot of mistakes in the past. Did you know, for example, I bet a lot of you did, in the 1970s, we were being warned of a huge cooling trend. Global cooling was coming. I remember Time Magazine, I think, had a cover picture of that. I've got it somewhere, of saying, you know, the next ice age is coming, basically. What else has science made some mistakes on? How about eugenics? They were going to clean up the race through eugenics. How about lobotomies? How about Y2K? Remember when everything was going to crash and we were going to go back to living in caves because the computers were going to die in the year 2000? Science told us with a straight face every one of these things was coming, or that it was good, and it's found out no. Okay, here's something else to keep in mind. Many, not all, But many scientists are simply not neutral. They, as they say, follow the money. A lot of them need money to be put into their institute or their research. And how do you get money? You scare people. So many scientists are not neutral. Something else to consider, we just don't have the ability to input enough data to make a computer simulations reliable. They're just not reliable enough right now. Something else to keep in mind, people whipping up a crisis or using fear, in many cases, have used that to gain control. That's how Hitler came to power. That's how Mussolini came to power. That's how Lenin came to power. And again, I don't want to equate the climate people with these awful individuals, but I'm just saying you can use this as leverage. You have to be really careful to use crises and fear as leverage. And then I think the key thing is we should be using our money in the most effective way so that we can attack world problems. Spend the money where we need to spend it. Here's something good that we might end on. This is Genesis 8. You might talk about this with your kids. This is after the flood. Last verse in chapter 8 of Genesis, that's 22 is the verse. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Okay, so as long as the earth endures, it says here, life will continue. It will not be put out. It will not disappear. Now, a few resources for you, and I hope you think about this. That book I mentioned, Should Christians Be Environmentalists, by Dan Story. That's a terrific one. The Cornwall Alliance is a Christian environmentalist group. So there are some good conservative Christian environmentalist groups. There's one called AUSABLE. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. A-U. Next word, S-A-B-L-E, AUSABLE, Institute of Environmental Studies. And then finally, the Evangelical Environmental Network. So there's some places that you can go to for more information. Obviously, this was really fast, quick once over. It's something that deserves a lot more attention. I hope you felt I was not preaching. I just want people to be sensible about this. So let's tell our young kids, our older kids, let's not worry about this right now. Let's follow the science. Let's look at the evidence. But go ahead, get married. Go ahead, have a job. Go ahead and finish up your schooling, whatever it is. Have kids. But think about this. Support some of the groups that may be good groups looking at this sincerely. And let's not let panic set in. God's in charge. God will take care of things. He always has, and he's promised that he always will.